Welcome to another episode of Grit Northwest. I'm Joe Cadwell, president of the Northwest Carpenters Union and your host of this podcast. My aim is to introduce you to the various personalities that make up the construction industry in our region. Through informative and insightful interviews, I hope to help you develop a stronger understanding of what it means to be a member of the Carpenters Union and how you can become a proud guardian of the deep and rich legacy that those who came before us worked so hard to build. From leadership development and training to politics and organizing, my goal is to engage, educate, and energize you to take charge of your future. In today's episode, we will be talking about money, the driving force of why many of us joined the trades to begin with. The road to success as a professional carpenter has many stumbling blocks, and personal finance management is undoubtedly one of them. A pre-COVID building boom led many, especially those new to our industry, to believe the good times would never end. However, our present situation illustrates how quickly these things can change. Without a sound financial plan focusing on long and short-term budgeting goals, many may find it difficult to keep their heads above water, even with the substantial wages and benefits that the union provides for its members. Our guest today is Jerry Allville. Jerry is a retired member of the Local 146, as well as the former president of the Northwest Regional Council. Jerry will help us understand how to prepare for the feast or famine nature of our industry and why it is so important to build a solid financial foundation in order to better weather the unpredictable nature of our trades. We'll begin our conversation by discussing the number one rule for generating personal wealth and why it is so important to implement it as a new carpenter. Next, we will investigate the three different and distinct phases of financial concerns in a carpenter's career, the transition from apprentice to journey worker, and eventually on to retiree. All carry their own challenges and inherent pitfalls. Knowing how to skillfully navigate each stage can definitely save you time and money along the way. And we'll end our discussion on finance management by giving you the resources needed to build your own personal wealth strategy. In today's episode, I have also included the famous movie quote, "Show me the money," to highlight key points when they are made. Finally, there will be an official I've Got Grit t-shirt drawing once this episode hits 300 downloads. To enter the drawing, send an email to gritnw@gmail.com with your count of the number of times Show Me the Money was used. Be sure to add your t-shirt size and local number as well. And now, on to the show. Welcome to the show, Jerry.
I'm glad to be here, Joe.
Well, I appreciate you being on the show, and the theme of today's show, Jerry, financial management and planning through the various stages of a carpenter's career. So would you care to talk to us about that?
The first thing that I really want to cover and talk about are the main keys to financial wellness. And the first is that, you know, as a carpenter, you develop good work skills and habits. That helps you become productive and efficient. And that applies to financial skills and habits as well.
So understanding a lot of our listeners are just getting started in the career as a craftsperson, maybe they're an apprentice. What is the number one thing, Jerry, you can think to as far as advice to get them off on the right foot?
Well, at the very beginning, you need to work on building up your skills, building up your attitudes. Like when you are able to develop good work skills and habits and having a good attitude, you're able to be productive and efficient. That's how you earn work. That's how you earn money, is by being, by making the company, you know, money, keep you employed. If they keep you employed, you're able to provide for yourself and later for a family. So the very first thing is really make yourself a good and efficient, a productive and efficient journey person. That's the basic building block of this whole thing.
Show me the money.
So it sounds like it's hard to manage money if you're not making money.
Yeah, absolutely. Like just being able to bring in that steady paycheck because they want you on the job and that you are a person that not only is productive and efficient, but that you work well with others, that you're a good team player, that you help the team be stronger and more productive because you're on it. That's the one, that's the person that they are looking for. Teachable, works hard with it, works well with others. It's just that's the engine that creates dollars to be able, you know, for you to be able to build all these next steps that we're going to talk about. The second is you really have to have a plan, and a plan is something just like a critical path. Having a 5-year goal or a 10-year goal you have an idea of where you're going. And so your plan helps you get there. And the key to this whole thing about plans is that things change over time. So with that plan, you need to be purposeful. That just means discipline. Just like at work, you know where you're going, so you steadily work to create the skills and those habits in your own life. And then as you look at that plan, you need to make sure you review and you refocus. So periodically do that. You know, am I on my track on track for my 5-year goal? The next thing is be willing to adapt. You need to learn from your mistakes. Just like at work, it's how we get better. And then the last real key to financial success is making sure that you and your family comes first.
So looking at the various stages of a carpenter's career, say starting off either as an apprentice or someone who's just brand new to the trade, it can be pretty exciting for them to come in and start making that livable wage right off the get-go and finding that they have more money than they know what to do with. So what's your advice there?
At the very beginning, whether you're a first-term apprentice or this is the first time you've been in working as a carpenter in the UBC under a contract, you're going to be making good money. The first thing you need to understand is that the average carpenter over time works 75% of the time. What that means is you're going to work 9 months out of 12. So whatever you, when you first start, you need to put away that fourth check to and live on 3 checks out of 4.
Show me the money.
Jerry, as seasonal workers, to some extent, we have to be prepared for those dry times when the work goes away and we're left with no security, no promise of the next job. That is a difficult reality of our industry.
Yeah. Many carpenters will work steady for 18 months, 2 years, 3 years. We've just been on a really good time before the coronavirus hit. And now the economy and the work and everything's been broken up and intermittent. And people are being unemployed for long periods of time. Once you realize that your budget is really 3 weeks out of 4, the next one is to identify, how am I spending my money? So I suggest that you track your spending for 31 days. And in that budget, you need to make sure you build an emergency reserve. That's being tactical. So your budget is purposeful and strategic because it's going to work for you month in and month out, month after month after month. An emergency reserve, and that's where that 25% that that you're setting aside from the get-go, you build your emergency reserve with that 25% first. And that's being tactical because at times you may need to draw on that emergency reserve. If you're very, very fortunate, you may not need to. But most everybody will have times of unemployment. Lastly, under this first section, is identifying either contributions into a 401k or a Roth IRA.
Show me the money.
So something about, why in my 20s would I want to start saving money for something's going to occur 40 or 50 years from now? Here's the biggest reason. Every dollar you save in your 20s is worth somewhere between 4 and 8 times as much than if you were going to save that same dollar in the last 10 years before retirement. So $10,000 in your 20s, if you're able to save $10,000 in your 20s, that $10,000 grows to anywhere from $40,000 to $80,000 by the time you're in your 50s. So prior to retirement, if I wait 40 years, I only have $10,000. But if I do it in my 20s, I have $40,000 to $80,000.
So the compounding interest of those investments early on really do matter later on when you start looking at retirement.
Yeah, there's you know, it's like somewhere around every 10 to 12 years, your money's going to double. That's why it becomes so important to start when you're young. You really should be at least looking at something like that, but you need to build into it knowing you're going to get those raises. So sliding off a little bit, I started with 50 cents and it ended up eventually becoming $7 an hour going into my 401k.
For our apprentices just getting started off, that might be a tough one to handle, though. I mean, you're already looking at getting started off in life, and it's difficult to make the rent payments, the car payments. But you're advocating to take 50 cents an hour and set that aside in a 401k for a long-term outlook, a long-term strategy to financial independence later on in life.
Yeah, it depends on where you are, because if you're dealing with, you've got too much money on your credit card debt and you're not able to pay it off every month, okay, you need to get that worked out before you start this. Credit card debt, my definition of buying on credit is spending more and paying for longer for something that you don't really need. If you bought something for $1,000 and that interest rate on that credit card was 20%, made the minimum payments, it would take you 4.2 years to pay off that $1,000 bill. And that $1,000 item all of a sudden becomes $1,472. That's how much it actually cost you. But if over the next 5 years, with 12 different raises, you're not able to start a 401k or a Roth IRA, your plan, you know, you're too short-sighted on your plan. So, you know, it's like you don't have to start off with it, but if your plan says in year two, after my fourth raise, I'm going to put 50 cents in, you know, that's a great start because you're still in your 20s. You're still at the beginning of your career, however old you are. It doesn't matter if you're in your 20s or if you're in your 40s as a first bracket apprentice. The more money you put in sooner, the more money you'll have to have choices later on.
Show me the money.
These next things apply to anyone after about 3 years into the industry. Because once you've gotten a couple of years under your belt, you know, you're probably able to save money and you're able to start making some decisions on some larger items. So whatever that is, whether you're in your 30s or whether you have put aside, you know, some money and now you want to reward yourself, and you certainly deserve to be rewarded. Work is hard. So the first thing is in this middle section of your career, vehicles. You know, do I buy new? Do I buy used? You know, it's really about what can you afford and what does your budget allow you to do? If you have the ability to buy a new vehicle and pay it off, you know, within 2 years, you know, so great. If you need to do 3 years, okay. But if you have to have a 6 or a 7 year loan to buy the vehicle that you need, know that you're going to be paying about twice as much for that vehicle because you're not getting, you know, you're not being charged credit card debt, but that debt, that interest rate on that loan is going to increase the cost of your vehicle more than 25%, 25 to 30% for sure once you get into 5 years or more. I know this because I did it. I bought a truck for 5 years and ended up spending $5,000 more on this $12,000 truck because I wanted to have it. That's one of my lessons that I learned not to do again.
I've seen it as well with a lot of folks, again, coming flush with a lot of cash, quick out the gate. And the first thing they do is buy a vehicle, a truck that probably, you know, stretch their budget to the end. And it's important to have dependable transportation by all means to get to work, to have somewhat of a status symbol. But again, not to get yourself so stretched out financially that when things finally do slow down, again, with the seasonality of our industry in mind, that you're not finding yourself having to sell that vehicle at a loss. So it's really important to really adapt the mindset of staying within your budget early on, in my opinion.
Right. It's like if you have your budget, if you've been contributing to your emergency reserve fund, so you have a protection against when you're not working, if you have actually saved, put aside money in your long-term plan for a large major purchase like a truck or, you know, and we're talking about houses too, then you're ready. But if you've maxed out your ability to make a house payment or a truck payment and you're laid off, and you don't have that emergency reserve, you're basically setting up yourself to have to sell what you bought at a loss. So we talked about vehicles. Another thing I want to talk about is houses, to rent or to buy. You know, some people, they rent their whole life. There's nothing wrong with that. Some people choose to buy a house. There's resources we're going to refer you guys to help identify some better ways to do that. But understand that, you know, if you can afford to buy a house and live within your budget, hopefully you can get it on a 15-year loan as opposed to a 30-year loan. You know, why? You pay less interest on a 15-year loan. And then once you get into buying that house, if you're able to kick in a little bit more money than that payment, you're able to save yourself and create more opportunities later on by reducing the length of that loan.
So, Jerry, understanding a lot of our members are at a point in their life where they're probably considering buying a home, starting a family. What advice do you have for those members?
Well, as you begin to have kids, you just need to understand that children, expanding your family, it takes additional money. And what that meant for my wife and I was that we didn't buy any new vehicles while we were raising our kids. And then once they were raised, I was finally able to get a new rig. But, you know, pretty much the money that was would have gone for new rigs went into other things like clothes, school things, and college expenses. As you get toward your late career, 40s or 50s, you know, all of a sudden your kids are grown and they're out of the house. And I got to tell you, it gets really quiet in the house when you've had, you know, multiple kids, friends. You know, it's like, what's going on? But what that does, it gives you and your spouse an opportunity to prioritize your life anew. You can start doing things for yourself that you hadn't been able to do before. Take vacations, go places. You know, it just gives you a chance to reset. But along with that, you begin to identify, hey, I physically won't be able to do this job forever. And here is where your former actions will dictate some of the choices that you have.
Show me the money.
If I've been disciplined and progressive about working my plan, adding to the different accounts, building your 401k, then those choices allow you to be able to retire when you choose. I was able to retire at 58 because I chose to. That meant I was ready. You know, I'd been eligible for several years, but I wasn't ready. And as I had learned about Social Security and Medicare, the costs of early retiree medical costs, you know, it's like I realized that it was going to take more money for me to retire than I actually thought. Because when you retire and you're not 65, you actually have to spend anywhere from $8,000 to $1,000, even with the early retiree credit, on early retiree healthcare. And, you know, healthcare in this day and age is absolute necessity for your family. So how I choose to retire, you know, it's like, here's where you can make your choices. You know, do I choose to retire, or because I haven't made good choices, I'm basically retiring because I have to?
One of the selling points, as you know, of being a union member is the pension and the possibility of retirement with dignity, along with the livable wages, the benefits for yourself and your family, the access to training, safer working conditions, and representation. We all look forward to that pension, that ability to retire down the road, have a pension. All along the way, though, you've been advocating for supplementing that pension. Is that true?
Absolutely. It's like your pension, regardless of where you are in our council, is designed to try to replace your income level with a 25 or 30 year career. If you're able to work 1500 hours a year, 25 to 30 years, your pension plan with keeping up with contributions should be able to provide you with, you know, replacement income close to it if not by itself, certainly with Social Security, supplementing it with a 401k or an IRA or a Roth IRA or other means of income, like, you know, some people choose to do rental homes. But supplementing your income allows you to retire before Social Security, because Social Security is going to be 25 to 35% of your income. And that's not going to come at the very beginning until 62. Supplementing your retirement income with an individual, some kind of individual account, whether it's 401k or an IRA, allows you to have choices so that when your body starts to break down in the mid-50s, for a lot of us, that you're able to make choices about when you can retire, because it's just not comfortable working anymore. Instead of having to, that's how my brother went out. He had to retire. I was able to choose to retire.
Show me the money.
So Jerry, this has been a fantastic conversation. You had mentioned earlier that our listeners had some resources available to them. What resources are you referring to?
Well, what I was referring to was there's three speakers that are fairly well known: Susie Orman, Dave Ramsey, and Clark Howard. Each of them have websites, have huge amounts of podcasts and FAQs to be able to identify answers to questions that you may have, or helps to do things like budgeting, how to get out of credit card debt. The one caveat I would say is that they also sell a few things. So be careful to make sure you're buying things that you need and not just because it sounds good and don't use them. So like tools, buy good tools. They provide good tools. They cost money, but don't just buy them and have them leave it in your toolbox.
All right. I'll make sure to add those to the show notes at the end of the show. Jerry, again, it's been great having you on. Thank you so much for taking your time to be here. I know our listeners appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you, Joe.
Our guest today was Jerry Auville, retired carpenter from the Local 146. To find more information on financial planning, be sure to check out the links in the show notes at Grit Northwest website. Also, remember to submit your count of the Show Me the Money quote to gritnw@gmail.com to be entered to win an official I've Got Grit t-shirt once this episode hits 300 downloads. Well, that wraps up another edition of Grit Northwest. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to hit the subscribe button. Be sure to share it with a friend, fellow carpenter, or family member. If you haven't already done so, please take a moment to post a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help others find the show. Until next time, this is Joe Cadwell reminding you to work safe, work smart, and stay union strong.